fast, so fast, so fast, so furious. All right. We're doing it. Hobbs and Shaw, we saw it. I saw it like a while ago, so I remember almost nothing. This movie went in one ear and out the other, and I don't even mean that in a bad way, but...
No, I saw it a week ago, and it's kind of the same with me. I was looking back on when we did these, because I wasn't sure. It was almost exactly 2 years ago.
How about that?
That we did... Jesus, yeah. And I ranked them anyway.
Oh, I don't have my rankings, but whatever. Right. I can remember like around where this would go.
Yeah, that's okay. I didn't have a superhero count for this, it being a bonus episode and all.
Of course. So, I mean, you usually do it for bonus episodes, but whatever.
Yes, I do. We had a lot of work to do. We had
three pod. It was a three podcast week. Four for me because of Gray Balls.
Right. So we had a lot to fit in here, folks. But if you do want a superhero count, just go back to any one of the 8 Fast and Furious movies because they're all in them.
I feel like I'm in like a laid-back Patreon mode because we just recorded a Patreon episode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I got to get into it, baby. We're talking about Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Okay, so this came out July 13th or August 2nd in the U.S., and it was a Hobbs and Shaw movie, Fast and Furious spinoff. And so far, it has made $437 million on its $200 million budget, and it is still opening around the world where these movies usually do better. So this movie is probably going to make a whole lot of money.
Yeah,
which
I think so.
Opens the world of Fast and Furious spinoffs. Now, they've announced that there's going to be 2 more official The Fast and the Furious movies, okay?
Right.
But no, we're not ending this franchise. We are going to be doing spinoffs. Hobbs and Shaw ends with it's not even a sequel setup, it's like a fucking franchise setup.
Yeah, it actually is.
And I assume we're going to be spinning off our other characters. And Chris Morgan, is that the writer's name?
Chris Morgan.
Yeah. He also recently teased that there could be a television series in development for whatever streaming service.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wow.
That's what we're doing. So, yeah, that dude, he's in charge of the Fast franchise now. You might recall that he wrote Tokyo Drift, the 4th one, the 5th one, the 6th one, and the 7th one. Oh, and the 8th one. Okay, whatever. This guy's just written all of them since the 3rd one.
Yeah. They're family.
Yeah.
They're family.
Chris Morgan. You know, one of my problems with Hobbs and Shaw is... Chris Morgan's been so good at keeping up with like character continuity in these movies. And I feel like I had some issues. Like I had to like push away some memories of previous movies in order to like buy into what was happening in this movie a couple times.
That's interesting. See, for me, the 2-year gap almost helped in that matter. Like I almost couldn't remember.
I mean, Deckard Shaw killed Han, dude.
See, I don't even remember that.
Don't you remember that? Fucking Han. We see it. He, like, T-bones Han with his car and murders him.
Oh! Which one is that in?
I want to say that's at the very end of 6, and then he shows up as, like, the main villain in 7.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay.
So, like, this guy is, like, he's, like, the snarky hero of this movie, and I'm like, motherfucker, you killed Han.
I didn't even remember that.
And
okay.
Also, like, Hobbs, he's, like, the top cop in the world. Like,
right.
He's the leader of, like, the American government, basically. And he goes back home, and his family is like, hey, you should have stayed here fixing cars with us. I'm like, motherfucker, let this guy live his life.
Yeah, they're not proud of him.
No.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be some Samoan pride in that, but there is none.
Well, there is later on in the movie, and there is in the movie itself. I feel like this movie very heavily is about Samoan pride, ultimately.
At the end, yeah, sure.
Yeah. So Chris Morgan apparently co-wrote this movie with a fellow named Drew Pierce, who, he's I'm not that familiar with him, but looks like he worked on some Marvel stuff. Oh, I remember this guy, right. He created No Heroics, which was like a hot web series in the aughts, and that's how he like got his career. He worked a little bit on Rogue Nation, wrote Hotel Artemis, and now he's got a screenwriting credit on this. I assume just because he did some rewrite work while Chris Morgan was off working on like Fast 9 or something.
Yeah, well, he gets work, this guy. He's steady.
Yeah.
Whether it's great or not, doesn't matter. He's a working man.
Yeah, right? And the director is David Leitch, who, you know, he was one of the John Wick twosome.
Oh, yeah.
But
all right.
Yeah. So he only worked, I think, on the first John Wick movie, and he co-directed it, uncredited, and then made Atomic Blonde, which I saw. And
yeah, you did.
I'll tell you what, it's got a good soundtrack.
Yeah, that's what I gleaned from the trailer when I saw it 3,000 times before it came out. Yeah,
there are like people on the internet going like, they've got to make a sequel to Atomic Blonde, and I'm like, can we stop all of this? I feel like Hollywood should like have to have like a more. They should take a break. Like, all right, for 1 year, we're not gonna make any sequels. I think it would help.
I think I agree, or come up with some sort of almost Hollywood congressional rule where there's a term limit can't make.
I agree.
1 year, no sequels.
Or
it would really thin out the.
How about this? A movie has to have made a certain percentage more than its budget to warrant a sequel. Otherwise, you are not allowed to make a sequel.
I like that. Yeah.
I
dig that. That's a good call.
I love it.
Yeah. Not so with Hobbs and Shaw.
No, he followed. So after Atomic Blonde, he made Deadpool 2, which I fucking hated. And I am not a fan of David Leitch.
Okay.
I am not a fan of his wacky, wacky ways. But he followed up Deadpool 2 with Hobbs and Shaw, which I kind of think is the best movie he's made.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to just quickly look at his. Filmography.
I mean, that's it. I think he was like a stunt guy or something, and he's only made a couple movies.
Oh,
yeah, look at this, stunt guy. He was the stunt
coordinator
for a lot of movies.
Jeez. All right, so I've seen, he didn't even direct Deadpool, I see.
He directed Deadpool 2.
He did? Oh, yeah, Deadpool 2, and, okay, wow. All right, yep, so I've seen two of his three movies. This is his best movie.
Hey, he did stunts on Buffy. Love it. Okay. Hobbs and Shaw. Where'd you see it? How'd you see it?
I saw it on a Monday night, a late showing. It's all I could do. Saw it in my local theater, which is not my preference, but I'm seeing things more and more there because of time. And it was nice, though, because it had been out a while and I really didn't have any interruptions or annoying crowd people. So it was a pleasant experience. I had most of the theater to myself. It was like five people.
Okay.
Oddly, Regal down here charges significantly more than AMC down here.
Fuck Regal, man. I'm an AMC head now.
I am too. I've always been an AMC guy, but, sometimes I don't have a choice. And get this. The AMC theater, my favorite theater that I go to, is $10 for any movie. Every time I go to Regal, it is $13.50.
Oh, fuck you, dude. I live in Brooklyn. I go see movies in Manhattan. Everything's like $19.
I live there too. I know. I'm just saying, in relativity, it's pretty irritating that I had, $13.50. But
all right. How was your theater going experience?
It was fine. It was good. I mean, I my main thing during seeing this movie, it is really long.
Oh, dude, I'm with you, man. 2 hours and 17 minutes, like three closing credit scenes. Give me a break.
Yeah, really long, and I tried to miss the previews, I was unsuccessful, so, I mean, I was in for an almost 3 hour experience. I mean, it was too much, and I think I saw two of the post-credits, I think I missed the last one.
I went with my friend Eric, Henry, that's right, I have a friend, and we were gonna go out to dinner after the movie. And the movie ended, and both of us were just like, "Do you want to just like go home?" And we did.
Yeah, I mean, my movie, I don't think I got home till like 12:30 in the morning, and I had to work the next day. So it was like it was an endeavor.
Sure.
Lovely.
I went to go see it at the Williamsburg Cinema, and you know, it was pretty good. We got I bought Twizzlers, and Eric got popcorn, and we shared. And I got a large soda, and we watched Hobbs and Shaw together. It was a pretty fun time.
I did buy popcorn as well, and I snuck
I do think
in.
Going to see it with a friend helped, like, because it's such a silly, ridiculous movie that you have to have someone. Like, when The Rock is, like, you know, taking an airplane down with the force of his biceps, like, you need someone to, like, turn to and go, like, look what's fucking happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely hit the concession stand, bringing my total expenses to about $22.
Yep.
So that was great. But I could see that for sure. It's a friend movie. But it was really long. I was almost startled at how long it was. I mean, I always check the running times before I go in, and I was already disappointed. But you feel it. Yeah.
I need to start off with a hot question, Henry. This is going to be a thinker.
Okay.
Is Idris Elba good?
In general or in this movie?
Yeah, in general. Because here's the thing. He's Stringer Bell in The Wire. It's an amazing performance, an amazing character on one of the best TV shows of all time.
Yeah.
What else has he been good in?
I like him in The Office.
Yeah, he's good in that. I mean, Luther is fine.
I like Idris Elba in most things I've seen him in.
I'm having this issue lately, though, because he's a guy. For the past few years, the internet has mobilized, like, Idris Elba's our guy. He's the sexiest man in the world. We want him to be the first Black Bond, all that shit. And, like, I'm on board with all of that. But, like, if we really think about it, I feel like every time I see Idris Elba in something, like... We want him to be the Black Bond. Why isn't he getting roles in things where he's the star of the movie?
Yeah.
He's the villain in Hobbs and Shaw. He's some fucking rando in the Thor movies.
Yeah, he had that Kate Winslet thing that kind of tanked, right? The Mountain Between Us.
He got the opportunity this past year, Henry, to create a Netflix series to star in, okay? That's a big opportunity.
Sure.
He created a show called Turn Up Charlie, where he's a famous DJ. And nobody liked it, and nobody watched it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I feel like...
I mean,
like...
I assume. If anybody out there watched Turn Up Charlie, please, please let me know.
Turn Up Charlie. I know where you're coming from here. I do. Because when I see him, I kind of see, like, wasted potential.
Yeah.
I think he's got, like, a great presence, and he's...
But here's the thing. I always thought wasted potential, Henry, but is the potential there?
I think it is. I just think it's unfortunate. I think he's getting a lot of throwaway roles, and he's just...
But he's taking those roles.
He is taking those roles, and, you know, I don't know, it's a long, long way from Stringer Bell, which, of course, is the first thing I ever saw him in, and probably most people, right, if you're American.
Here's the side story. Is he difficult to work with? We've heard that before.
Oh, that could be.
He's apparently a pain in the ass in contract negotiations. He got paid a lot for Hobbs and Shaw. He's also apparently... He's, like, talked shit about The Wire in recent years, saying that he doesn't think they should have killed off Stringer.
Yeah, I've read that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all. Yeah, I don't know. That could be. I think time will tell. I mean, I don't know. Although it's been, I mean, you know, a long time. What's it been since the last Wire seasons? 11 years?
I'm waiting for it, dude. Like, the time should have happened.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, he may just continue upon this thread he's on.
But the thread ultimately is the upward trajectory to movie star. Everyone seems to think that the last road on Idris Elba's career, you know, stops at Bond.
Right.
But, like, I'm not seeing it, man. You know, and he's the villain in Hobbs and Shaw. And Hobbs and Shaw does kind of an interesting thing in which they set up an evil organization that's sort of like fucking Spectre and Bond. It's exactly like that, if we're being honest.
It is. It very much.
But Idris Elba is not the Blofeld of this organization.
No, he's not.
He's a fucking henchman.
He is.
He got defeated in this movie. He's got that one line on Black Superman that's funny, and he delivers it funny. But, like, I mean, ultimately, he's going to disappear again from this fucking franchise, and we're going to meet, like, the actual guy who matters, because at the end of the movie, we, like, see there's, like, a head. It's like fucking Inspector Gadget, man. Did you watch it? I talked about this with Eric. Eric said Inspector Gadget to me, and I was thinking the same thing. There was Dr. Claw. You would see his hand, you know, and he'd be, like, petting a cat. There's a fucking Dr. Claw in this movie.
See, I don't even remember that in this movie. I don't remember the – is that a post-credits thing? Or
it might be. Did you stick around for the closing credits?
Well, I mean, I saw the Samoan – I'm looking at Wikipedia. I saw them break out Helen Mirren, and I saw the Rock getting a phone call about a worse virus. But then it says there's a scene where Hobbs has the police set on Deckard.
And he says that Deckard's name is like Hugh Janus or something. That's the level of humor in this film. By the way. This is such a fucking swinging dicks movie, dude.
Oh, of course it is.
This whole movie is just like fucking pecs and dicks.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous.
There must be a fucking special feature on the DVD with just the entire cast of this movie comparing penis sizes. Roman Reigns is like, here's mine.
Oh my!
And everyone laughs at him.
And that's why I do appreciate more than I think I did in the other movies Jason Statham in this, because he's a welcome relief. You know, we've talked about The Rock before. We love him. But, you know, it's a welcome relief just to see an at least – you know,
well, that was that was the impetus for this movie, is they thought they liked the chemistry between Statham and The Rock. They were two of the easier actors to work with on set. And they were like, let's put them in a spinoff.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think they're funny. I laughed at quite a few jokes, which surprised me.
No, they have great banter. They're really funny together.
Yeah. You know who doesn't have great banter?
Who?
Sorry, it's a seltzer. Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, my God. Dude, the cameos in this movie were exhausting. I actually liked Ryan Reynolds in his, like, first scene where he first showed up in that diner.
It's okay.
Yeah, you know, him having the I actually laughed out loud when he revealed that he had the same tattoo as The Rock.
Yeah, I mean, it just, is this what Ryan Reynolds is going to do now?
Yes.
Like, that's it, right?
That's always what Ryan Reynolds has done, dude.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'd seen
He's doing nothing different from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I mean, I thought maybe he now has free reign since Deadpool to just be this guy in everything.
I feel like there was a cameo in this movie I hated more than Ryan Reynolds in, right?
Kevin Hart?
Oh, no, that's what it is. I liked the Kevin Hart cameo, and I found Ryan Reynolds annoying. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, even Kevin Hart's cameo is a little too long.
It goes on forever because they let him improvise, but I do think it's legitimately funny.
Yeah, it ain't bad. You know, I mean, I don't know. Do you want to do the plot, or are we just...
What fucking plot, dude? There's a secret evil organization. They have access to a fucking
virus,
of course. It's the MacGuffin. Shaw's sister happens to be working for this organization. She gets out of there by injecting the virus into her for, like, safekeeping or something.
Yeah.
And then they realize they either have to kill her to save the world or fucking go find this thing that will take it out of her. And while they're doing that, Idris Elba's the fucking villain. He's after them.
That's right. And the virus.
And he has superpowers because there are superpowers in these movies now.
There are super soldiers. That's right. It's essentially like the Bond Spectre and the idea of creating a world of super people. Genetic enhancements. So they're all going to be like superhuman strength and all that shit. And Idris Elba was a soldier who went to the dark side, and Statham didn't join him. And so now they are enemies.
Right.
And if the virus isn't contained, it'll wipe out humanity.
Yeah, that's all correct.
That's the plot.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Look, it's I was entertained.
And we deal and the other thing is we deal with like their character arcs. So let's talk about those. Those were way more interesting to me. Where Statham and his sister's relationship, and he goes to visit Helen Mirren in prison, who's his mom. That was in Fate of the Furious. We met her. And she says, I'd love to see you and your sister here together sometime, but I don't think that'll ever happen. And then, you know, the whole movie's a bonding process between Deckard Shaw and his sister.
Right, and The Rock...
and The Rock has his own family issues, because the entire third act of this movie takes place in Samoa, where The Rock's family lives in, like, a straw hut and works on cars.
Correct, yes. Who run a ridiculous organization. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's International Car Mechanics.
It looked like the fucking Toretto setup in the original Fast and the Furious.
Actually, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. And then you got the subplot of the romantic tension between The Rock and...
Oh, The Rock wants to fuck Statham's sister. And I gotta tell you, Statham's sister was this chick, actress
Kirby.
Named Vanessa Kirby. And I kind of thought she was the star of the movie.
She was good. She didn't blow me away. Or
really?
Nothing.
She's my MVP.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
No, not for me. I thought she was good. I didn't think she had a tremendous amount of charisma, but that also might be because the movie is so awash
with
in
dicks. Maybe
right.
She just was such a relief to me.
Yeah, she's just like she's kind of. Not,
I don't know. I liked her in fucking Fallout too. I think she could be good.
I don't even remember her in Fallout.
You don't remember? They like go meet her in a bar somewhere.
Jesus, I don't remember her. She did not make an impression
on
me, I guess, in either movie.
You liked her in that. I like Vanessa Kirby. I think she's good.
All right, maybe I did. I don't know. We watch a lot of movies.
Yeah,
I love Fallout. I know that. One of the best movies of that year.
Yeah, I agree. What about fight scenes? What did you enjoy?
Oh, I thought they were great. I prefer the hand-to-hand combat stuff. I thought was pretty funny and well done, more than the 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 helicopter being pulled in by The Rock.
I mean, loved that.
No, of course.
Although that scene goes on for fucking ever.
Exactly.
I feel like they're in like a perpetual U-turn for like,
the problem.
20 minutes.
That's the problem, and I think that most of the hand-to-hand combat comes early, and so you're fresh. And then by the time a lot of the big set pieces happen, I mean, I'm already, like, ready to, okay, you know.
Go ahead.
There was a point in the movie where it's like when we get to Samoa, I was like, oh, my God, no, please. Are we going to have, like, 30 more minutes?
I know. I know. And we do. We have, like, fucking 50 more minutes of plot.
I know. You know, but it's funny because, you know, overall, I did have a good time. I wasn't particularly looking forward to seeing this, you know, even though it was 2 years ago that we did all these and I did like them. You know, they were fun to cover. I was just not psyched.
I was psyched.
But the movie it delivered on what it does. And
oh, yeah.
In my rankings, it's actually pretty high. But, for the most part, I think it's a totally solid movie. And I did think it was very funny how to think back where it started and how nothing to do with cars anymore it has to do. You know what I mean? It's just completely gone. All of that is just totally gone. It's completely evolved.
Yeah, I know.
Over 9 movies into just like an action movie. About whatever the fuck.
No one after making the first movie, no one at the studio was like, "How about if in the sequel they're saving the world from a virus in Samoa?"
Right. Yeah, the vision has altered greatly.
Yeah,
I suppose that was the plan.
Well, they wanted it to grow outward and outward and outward until they couldn't connect it to the characters anymore, and Chris Morgan says like they've considered like space shit with like they're just gonna keep going.
Well, they might as well. I mean, they might as well. They've got nothing to lose. I mean, where they go all over the world, they're everywhere. Why not go in space? I would be up for that.
Yeah,
Hook them up.
We've included like fucking submarines and cars and airplanes and shit. Why not spaceships?
I say a satellite goes wrong, and
the only guy who can fix it is Vin Diesel.
Exactly.
And we need the best car mechanics in the world. The Rock is like, I know just the fools.
Hobbs and Hubble. Yeah, it'll be great. Statham in space.
Be great. It would be great.
The Rock on the third rock. Yeah, do it. Yeah, go to space. Get them all on a team.
You know that the third rock is Earth, right? I couldn't let that go by.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
You're right. You're actually right. It is the third rock from the sun.
Mm-hmm. I want to say that I particularly like the hand-to-hand combat in Samoa because there are a lot of wrestling moves.
Oh, you're such a nerd.
Roman Reigns plays one of the Rock's brothers in this movie. I don't know if you recognized him.
I know that. I wouldn't know him.
He's a famous wrestler. So, first of all, Roman Reigns' big thing in wrestling is when he gets real fired up about something, he goes, "Hoo-ah!"
Okay,
And at one point in this movie, he and The Rock did that at the same time.
Oh,
it was awesome.
You must have wet yourself.
I did. And then Roman Reigns just like fucking speared a motherfucker. It was great. And at one point, The Rock just flat out suplexes a guy.
That's nice.
Yeah.
The only Samoan wrestler that I know is Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
No, you know The Rock.
Besides him. Yeah. Jimmy Superfly Snuka?
Yeah, of course. Do you remember Rocky Maivia, the Rock's dad? He was a good wrestler.
For my time.
Okay, fine. Well, yeah, Superfly Snuka is great. I love that guy.
It's all 80s, so yeah.
The first high flyer in the WWF.
That's right. I remember his signature move. Yeah.
The what was it? Superfly Splash or something?
Top turnbuckle. Guys laying out, and he just fucking splashes them.
Yeah.
Not an elbow or anything. Just that great belly splash.
Yeah, yeah. okay. I enjoyed this movie. What do you give it?
I give it 3 stars.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All right, who's your MVP?
I'm going to give it to the guy who really kept me in and I thought was the funniest, and that is Jason Statham.
Ooh, why are you pronouncing it that way?
I don't know how to say it.
I'm pretty sure it's Statham.
Statham?
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's the Brits. I don't know how some things they say, you know, if they say Statham.
I have no idea, but whatever.
Brixton, I've heard it. Brighton, is Brighton different than Brixton? UK Dave, weigh in on this.
Yeah.
How do you say Jason Statham? Yeah. Anyway, he's my MVP. Who's yours?
Vanessa Kirby. But right. I also want to give shout-outs just beyond, obviously The Rock and Statham are great. But I thought Cliff, what's that guy's name? Clifton?
Oh, he's great. Cliff Curtis.
Cliff Curtis. I thought he was really good in this. I didn't even recognize him at first.
I did. I've always loved Cliff Curtis. Whenever he shows up in a movie, I'm always more interested. He's a great, great actor. I dig him a lot. So, yeah. It's a nice touch.
Yeah. All right. That's about it, I guess. So that's my MVP is Kirby, though. And who's your LVP?
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, same. Okay. we don't have a superhero count.
No.
Hey, Josh Lemur or somebody, but I feel like Josh Lemur has wanted to do this in the past. Sure. Someone make me a superhero account for this movie. Yeah, I'll read it on the next episode.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to have that many because there's not that many new people from the other ones, but you might have one with Vanessa Kirby.
Idris Elba Heimdall.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, I couldn't get around to it. But
right.
Yeah, go for it if you want. I got a ranking.
Yeah, I don't. I forgot to do that.
Okay.
But let me hear yours.
All right. So at number 9, the worst Fast and Furious movie. Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah, I think I agreed with that.
Yeah. That's the one with...
Tyrese.
Right. Number 8.
Well, it's the first appearance of Tyrese, of course.
Okay, right. Number 8 is The Fast and the Furious.
Ooh, the first one. Okay.
Number 7 is The Fate of the Furious.
Yeah, we didn't love that one.
All right. Number 6 is Furious 7.
Yeah, I had that higher, I think.
Okay. Number five is Fast and Furious.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Number four, losing a spot, Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
Wow, you've got Hobbs and Shaw in your top three?
I do.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably recency bias, I'm sure. But, you know, I'm still, yeah, number three is Hobbs and Shaw. And then number two, which are still my two favorites, number two is Fast Five. And the best one for me still is Fast and Furious Six.
All right. Well, that's a great list. My favorite's Fast Five. Six is high. Seven is pretty high for me. I feel like Hobbs and Shaw would be probably around like five on my list.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. I feel like I love Fast and Furious is four through seven. And then this might be like after that. Like, I like this one maybe about as much as I like Tokyo Drift or something.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the Fast and the Furious, have you heard about the original Fast and Furious director Rob Cohen's recent stuff?
Uh-oh, SpaghettiO.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so Rob Cohen apparently has a transgender daughter.
Okay.
Okay? And the transgender daughter has come out and accused her father of sexually assaulting her as a child.
Oh my God.
And apparently, Rob Cohen's first wife and this transgender woman's mother confirmed that she has witnessed at least one incident of sexual abuse against her.
Jesus
All
Christ.
right. Furthermore, apparently Rob Cohen took his daughter, I mean his, well, it was his son at the time,
Right.
to visit sex workers in Thailand and the Czech Republic when she was 13 in an attempt to turn her straight.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Jesus
baby. So
Christ.
I'm very thankful that as a man who loves this franchise, that piece of shit's involvement is limited to the first one.
Wow. Oh my God. That is horrific.
Yeah.
Jesus
Thought I'd
Christ.
end this on a high note.
Well, maybe he'll Epstein himself. You never know.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, let's all hopes and prayers that he Epsteins himself.
Get the bullshit sentiment right, Dan. It's thoughts
Thoughts
and
and
prayers.
prayers, excuse me.
That solves everything.
Yeah. Okay. Let's wrap up. Until next time. Oh, well, of course, next week you'll get D2 and D3, the Mighty Ducks. You should already have the first one in your feed. And if you're a Patreon listener, you should have an order up over there.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will see you next week or this week for the next episode of D2, D3. Then later on in the month, coming up soon, is another Patreon episode. So until that time, everybody, I'd like to say, I'm Idris Elba. Don't give up on me. Please don't. Happy trails.
I'm what you call an ice cold can of whoop ass.